Hey, would you help me welcome our online family too? God bless you guys. So glad you're with us. Peace to your house. You may be seated. I want to start a brand new series today called The Love of God. And I'm excited about the series, and I should be. And I find that every new series I start, I feel like, wow, this is the most important thing ever. And I think that goes with just God's timing and emphasis that this is what we should be looking at, the love of God. Let me start out by saying the greatest force in all of creation is the love of God. And let me also say that the greatest need in all of creation is the love of God. And we've got to somehow get the connection there. God loves us, and God's love is released and flowing toward us. And We want to receive all of that love that we can. Now, my goal throughout this series, and this will expand and develop as we go, but we have God's love for us and God's love to us, and then we want to have God's love in us and God's love through us. Do you get that? So it's God's love for us and God's love to us, and then God's love in us and God's love through us. Guess what? That fixes everything. That fixes us. That fixes others. The new commandment that Jesus said was not just that you love your neighbor as you love yourself to fill all that out. He said, no, I want to revise it and say, I want you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. And we'll see also that the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of God into us. And so we have the love of God into us, and it's not just for us. Yes, it's for us, but it's also so we can interact with everybody around us in the right way. Can you say amen today? The love of God is the motivation. It's the impetus. It is the catalyst of everything that God does for us. The love of God is beautiful. It is complex. It is simple. It is lasting and eternal, it is unconditional, and it is immeasurable. Now, there's an old song written in 1923 called The Love of God. Many of you would know it from old hymnals and so forth. I grew up kind of knowing it. A man named Frederick Martin Leham wrote the song. So we're back in the 1920s, and he was a businessman in California. He had a financial reversal pretty big, and he started working at a citrus packing plant in California. So every day he's now going and he's putting in wood crates, oranges and grapefruit and lemons and so forth. He's a believer. He had an old upright piano in his house. He loved to sing and to play. And one Sunday night at church, the pastor preached about the love of God. And it just connected with him in a way that nothing really had connected quite before, and he thought about it all night and prayed about it all night, and the next morning he goes to work at the citrus packing plant, and lyrics started to come to him, words to a song started to come, and they said that he wrote on broken slats off of fruit crates. He started to write the lyrics on this. He got home that afternoon, sat down to his old upright piano and started to play and put music with the lyrics, and then he got stumped. He just got stalled, because back then, a real song had to have what they call three stanzas, and today, you only need four words, okay? Yeah, yeah, baby, baby, and that's one of my secular songs, but it's super simple, but you needed three stanzas, and they had to be pretty complex. And he was just stumped, and he prayed, and he said, God, just show me then. And he realized, I'm probably not going to just get it out of myself, but it's close to me. And then he remembered, it came to mind, he believes the Holy Spirit prompted him, that someone had sent him a card with a poem on it. And he thought, now I got to find that poem. And as the evening went on, he realized, I know where it's at. And he went into a stack of books, and he had used it as a bookmark. And so he pulled it out, and it's the third stanza of the song. Well, the story behind that poem, that third stanza that we'll look at in just a moment, was there was a man that years before this had been in prison. He And nobody has detail on who he really was, why he was in prison, but then he died in prison. After he died in prison, they came in to paint his cell. And in his cell on the wall was this poem that he had written while in prison. And the guys that were painting it thought, this is too rich. We can't just paint over it. So they pulled out their cell phone. I was making sure you're with me. They wrote it down and captured it, and then it had some limited circulation, and somehow, I believe by the hand of God, made their way to Mr. Lehman. And here is the third stanza. We'll put it up on the screen for you. This is rich. It's old language. It's poetic. It's so meaningful and beautiful. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill or a pen, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Isn't that beautiful? It's the love of God. We're not able to fully describe it. We're not able to fully measure it. But I believe we can in fuller measure come to know and experience the love of God in our lives. It's the love of God that makes way for God's goodness and mercies in our life. The love of God is the fountainhead. It's the spring that God's goodness and mercy comes to us. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but God, who is, come on, help me. He's rich in mercy, what? Because of what? Because of his great love with which he loved us. So look at it again. God is rich. Y'all listen, the Bible's really clear to us. God is rich in mercy. I said God is rich in mercy. And what that is, that's his goodness to us. God is rich in mercy because of the great love wherewith he has loved us. So again, love is the spring, it's the fountainhead, it's the portal, if you will, that brings all of the goodness of God to us. There are other verses, many, many verses. Here's one, John 3:16, do you know it? For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I love the next verse too. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What is that? How did all of that happen? Because God so loved. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. Okay, I got to help y'all out. I just told you that God cares for you and he loves you. And you're like, yeah. Okay, I've told this story, I know, 100 times over the history of this church. But I'm in sixth grade, okay? And I'm in the cafeteria. And so there's, 100 or so students in there. And a girl walks across the cafeteria to me and says, hey, Beth likes you. And I said, I like Beth. And then I said, which one is she? Okay, what is that? What is that? We're made this way. We love God because he first loved us. So for me to stand here and tell you that God cares for you and God loves you, and you go like, yeah. You need to wake that up in you today. I'm going to try it again. God cares for you. There you are. He loves you. See, that's why y'all are my people, right? So back to 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your cares on him. Aren't you glad we can do that? Because he what? He cares for you. The Amplified Bible says, casting all your anxieties, cares, and worries once and for all over onto him because he, listen to this, cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Isn't that something? So God cares for you. He takes care of you because he cares for you. All of this is flowing out of the love of God. God loves us. Thank you, Lord. Our greatest need is to know the love of God. Read that on the screen with me. Our greatest need is to know the love of God. If I have a subtitle for today, it says, Knowing God's Love. Knowing God's Love. And this is incredible for us. And it's not just as easy as me telling you about it, or you reading about it, or even you coming for all of this series. It has to be an interaction and something that happens on the inside where you, with the eye of your understanding and your heart expand, that you could actually start to take in this immeasurable love of God. Amen. You've got to know that God loves you. You've got to know that God is for you. And he's not against you. I don't think you heard me. He is for you. And he's not against you. There's nothing you could do that could make you, that could make God love you any more than he does right now. Here's the other side. There's nothing you could do that could cause God to love you any less than he does right now. God loves you. There it is. Come on. God loves you. You personalize it. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. And you better know that, because, and I'm about to yell here in just a minute, just a warning, all right? You've got to know that, because if you don't know that God loves me, the enemy of your soul, the devil, will exploit you and exhaust you and will distort and damage your soul. I want to say it again. Without a greater, fuller awareness of the love of God and what all of that means in you, the enemy of your soul, the devil who hates you, God loves you, enemy of your soul hates you, okay? He will exploit you. He will exhaust you. He will distort your soul and damage your soul. I'm about to yell. Ready? So stop helping him with your words about you. For real. He's working to exploit, exhaust, distort, and damage. And so much. Everything's on the word system. Everything. And he's getting you to harp in and chime in with words that have been spoken over you, spoken to you, or weren't spoke to you, or our media or our culture bombards us with, and you've got to stop it, because you are loved by God. If someone was standing right here, and God was right here, and God said, I love this person, and I start to rail on them and talk bad about them and put them down, how dare you speak against someone that God said he loves? And I just told you, hold up. And I just told you, God loves you. And the enemy of your soul, on a personal mission to exhaust you, to wear you out, to mess you up and break you down, stop helping him with the words of your own mouth. Stop saying, well, I'm too this, I'm too much that, I'm not enough of that, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too thick, I'm too thin, I'm too that, I can't do that, I always do that, nothing goes right for me, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat a worm. And we go on and on and on. And now I want to ask you, how good do you feel about that? And what it does, it blocks out the truths that God's trying to get to you, that he's already said and established and planned and has for you. Stop helping the enemy. How dare you speak against you that God loves? God loves you. And we're not cooperating anymore with the enemy of our soul. Amen. Amen. All right, let's keep going. Now, your relationship, your love relationship with God, when you get this right, follow this, meets all needs, heals all hurts, fills all emptiness. That's what's wrong with us. Our needs, our hurts, our emptiness. And the solution for this is the love of God. And when we get this flow right, and it's the deficit is not on God's part. It's on our part in expanding our hearts and getting the other stuff out of the way. So actually we could be a person with the love of God that meets all needs, heals all hurts, fills all emptiness. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is, y'all just help me. There's no fear in love, but perfect or perfected love, come on, help me. Cast out fear. Did you know in the New Testament Greek that cast out is violent? It is to snatch and drag and repel. And perfected love. Now, the love of God is perfect. And the more that we see of the perfection of God's love for us, do you know what it does? It violently gets fear out of our lives. I'm fully convinced that the more that we can see and realize the love of God, the less fear you're going to have in your life, the less anxiety you're going to have in your life, the less hopelessness and confusion you're going to have in your life because of what the perfect love of God does in our life. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives it out, repels it out of your life. Zephaniah chapter 3. How many of you read in Zephaniah this week? We have one. All right. Thank you, Bob. Zephaniah. What is a Zephaniah? It's a minor Old Testament prophet, but good words here. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And watch this. He will quiet you with his love. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. In the New Living Translation, that one phrase says, with his love, he will calm all your fears. How many of you could use more of the love of God? Because what it does, he will quiet you with his love. He will calm all your fears with his love. Now, the Old Testament Hebrew is a very, very rich language. Let me just say it. It's richer than our English, okay? And a lot of things carry facets to them. So like it's multifaceted. So if you look on one side, you can see one thing that's totally true. And then if you look a little differently, you can see something else that's also totally true and related. So this is multifaceted here. There's kind of a dual meaning that he will quiet you with his love. With his love, he will calm all your fears. There's another part of it that some other translations, word studies bring out. The Amplified Bible brings it out in this way. In his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. I'll sign up for that. But it has to be past sins. So get it right with God. And part of the calmness that he brings is his great forgiveness. The New International Version says, in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. I love this, though, that he will quiet you with his love. Now, God's love is a whole different brand of love than our love. It's a whole different level. How many of you know we're good loving people, though? But we use the word love just so lightly, okay? We love hot dogs and chocolate. I love your hairdo. I love my new shoes. I love to sleep in. We love our teams. We love this, you know. We love all those things. God's love is a whole different level. And all those things are fine. That's part of just enjoying life. But we've got to realize that there's a deep and rich love that comes from God. In the New Testament, we find, and the New Testament is written in Greek, also a very rich language, we find four different types of love. I want to show them to you real quick on the screen. First is called storge, and that's family love. Second is eros, which is romantic love. Third is phileo, which is brotherly love, or it's like friends, close friends. And last, the big one here, agape. Everybody say agape. And agape is divine love. It's the God kind of love. Now look in 1 John chapter 3. John, does anybody remember one of John's nicknames in the Gospel of John? Beloved. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. He had a better grip, I think, on love somehow. No wonder he wrote the epistle of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." Now look at it carefully, because sometimes we just read through things and we miss so much. Behold, what manner of love. First of all, that behold, up until this point in 1 John, we just landed in chapter 3, it's been instruction. He's been given instruction in lining out principles. We land in chapter 3, verse 1, and it's an outburst. It's like, aha, look at this. What are you talking about? Holy wow. He just kind of lands there. Behold, and then he says, what manner of love? It literally means, from what country or place did this come from? It's peculiar, rare, uncommon, and literally an out of this world kind of love. So what he's saying is, holy wow, where did this come from? What kind of love is this, that God would love us so much and we were such a mess that he would make us the children of God? Are y'all hearing me today? And what this is God's agape love. It's not from around here. You can't find this here. This is from God. This is from God Almighty. And the agape love, let me just read you a few things about it. The agape love for us is the highest form of love. It is divine. It is unconditional. It is otherworldly. It is undeserved. You can do absolutely nothing to qualify for it. It's not transactional, and you can have it regardless of circumstances or emotions. How many of you have ever had any circumstances? I'll try it again. There you are. How many of you have ever had some emotions? So regardless of circumstances, guess what? God loves me. Regardless of emotions, I can be so down, I can be in the valley of the shadow of whatever and feel so low, but you know what helps me in that spot? I'm never alone. I'm never without help. Why? Because he, right here, how I feel, how I'm thinking right now, God loves me. God loves me. Amen? Amen. Now let's keep going with this. The love of God, agape love, says this, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I will never change my mind about you, regardless of what happens. God's love is, and we're going to talk a lot about this during this series, is sacrificial. Come on, everybody, say sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. That means because of his love, he sacrifices. Let me try to describe sacrificial real quick. Sacrificial means it's better for me if I keep it. But it's better for you if I give it. So Jesus, think about Jesus. Jesus could have said, it'd be better for me to just stay here in heaven, keep my life, stay with all this glory and goodness and everything else, not go through all of that. Better for me if I keep it. But out of his love, sacrificial love, he says, but it'd be better for you if I give it. You know, how does that play out in our lives then? You know, so often, it'd be better for me if I keep it. My time, my energy, my money, I don't want to go out of the way. Better for me. But sacrificial love does what? But it'd be better for you if I give it. And see, our love is a selfish love. But once we get agape in there, we're going to find that we're going to be much more sacrificial and a blessing and benefit to those around us. God's divine love makes us whole. It makes us secure. It causes us to be peaceful. The root of our insecurities and fears. Let me hold up just for a moment. If any of you have any insecurities or fears, don't let anybody else around you. Just kind of privately signal to me just real quick. Anybody here have any insecurities or fears? Okay. I see some people pointing at their spouse too. And so, okay. It's all of us. It's all of us. We have insecurities and fears. Get this. Do you know what the root of it is? We don't see, we don't know enough of God's love. Because if we knew, if we really could see in our heart of hearts the love of God, we would realize God cares. The root of our insecurities and fears is that God doesn't see me, doesn't really care. He acted nice to me there, but he doesn't really care. He's not interested. He's not involved in my life, in my problems, in my hopes, in my hurts. And that is the root of our insecurities and our fears. What we must simply get is a revelation and a realization of just how much God loves us and what that means. We must come to know the love of God. We must come to know. You ready? It comes down to this, that God loves me. Looking at Ephesians, we're going to wrap up here in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of what is called the Pauline prayers. And so the Apostle Paul wrote out these incredible prayers. And they're just loaded with meaning and purpose here. He says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray, there's a second time, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Look at me real quick. How many of you would like to be empowered with inner strength through his Spirit? All right. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Watch this next line. Incredible. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Now watch this. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and the power that comes from God. See, once we begin to grasp the love of God, the love that God has for us, we're made complete. We're made strong, but it's going to take a number of things. The greatest need in your life, the greatest need in my life is I've got to fully see the love of God. I've got to come to know the love of God. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take time because it says may the roots of your heart, of your life, grow deep into his love, and then you're strong. It's going to also take revelation. It's going to take God showing us and strength to be able to grasp and comprehend this. I want to do something kind of based on Paul's prayer. We're going to close out just a little bit different today. I want to pray over you, and I want you to just stay right where you are. Just kind of disengage from everybody here for a moment. I'm going to ask everybody to stay. Nobody leave. This won't take long at all. And I want to pray because this isn't something we just come to know, like I show you a math formula or something and go, okay, I got it. Or I show you how to spell a word, okay, I got it. No, this is something else that I've got to know with my heart, with the eyes of my understanding deep inside. This is a work between you and God. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some strength. And a lot of times we have a lot of things in our thinking, in our heart, in our life that are kind of blocking that or detouring that. And I just want to pray that God would just help us so that we could see on the inside and recognize on the outside the love of God. And then I'm going to have Sherry and Tommy minister a song over you. And then we'll probably sing it together. It's an old song. It's one of my favorite songs on the whole planet. Some of you will know it. It's an older song. For the rest of you, it's a new song. And it is so good. It'll be one of your favorites as well. And it's just about the love of God. We'll get there in a moment, but just right now, just open your heart. Let me pray over you right now. Father, I thank you for every precious person here. You love every one of them. And we just thank you, Lord. It is your love that causes you to be so good to every one of us. And yet, Lord, we walk around with fear and insecurity, anxiety, confusion. And really, it's just a sign, it's a symptom that we need to be able to see more and more of your love. And so, God, I wish I could just write it on a board and we memorize it and there we have it. But this is the greatest thing. This is out of this world kind of love. It is the fountainhead. It's the spring that all of your goodness comes to us. And so, Father, I just pray that you would work and begin to reorganize and rearrange inside of us, and that you'd help us to make adjustments in our life and help the eyes of our understanding. Give us the strength to be able to see, to be able to grasp, be able to comprehend this amazing love of God that you have for us. This is a holy work. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We insist upon it, that you begin to show us more and more and more and more. May it dawn on us more and more and more and more, the love of God. Because we want the love of God that's for us and to us to also be in us and through us. Pour out your love. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.